Hey yo, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am super happy to have the main man from Molly Hatchet. I have Bobby Ingram. He plays guitar with the band, and Molly Hatchet is, 40 years. Amazing career. Bobby, how are you?
I'm great. Brett, thank you so much for having me on the air today, and I really appreciate that wonderful introduction. Yes, you're right. We have a new album out. It's called Battleground. It's a live album, and we are super excited about it.
Well, and I don't blame you, because I've listened to it several times now, and I think it's awesome. Like, the sound of the band live is really good, and honestly, I have to say that now that, you know, with the new singer, it's unfortunate that Jimmy had to come into the band, but he sounds great on the songs.
You know, we started this five years ago over in Switzerland and in Germany, and it's been 5 years in the making. We didn't expect it to go that long, but it did. And during the production phase of it and recording phase, we lost a couple members of the group. Dave Lubeck passed away in 17, and then recently Phil McCormack passed away. And it's been a battleground, that's for sure, you know. And I've been able to keep it rolling pretty strong, and we've got Jimmy in the mix now, and we've known him for a while he's from Florida, from Central Florida, down there in Winter Haven, and we've known him for a while and met years ago when his band Bounty Hunter used to open up for us. So he just seemed like a logical choice to come in and finish up on the live album, and we've got many, many more tracks that we never even put out. So, but we're really happy with this. A lot of people say, "Well, how'd you come up with the songs for it?" You know, and we didn't. Our fans did. Our friends. We would play the shows, you know, through the years, and they would tell us what songs they want to hear in the set, and that is what compile this 40-year, four-decade-plus song selection for the double CD and the triple vinyl Battleground album. So it covers all the way from 1978 all the way through the Justice record, and a couple more surprises in between. So we're having, we're having a great time with it, and I think it talks for itself.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, the songs sound really fresh, and I think really vibrant, and I think, you know, that a lot of that speaks to you as the leader of the band and the people that you're able to bring in, and just the fact that you're able to kind of, you know, give the fans exactly, and I know just from talking to you a little bit how important these kind of things are for you to be able to do things and do things right.
You know, I mean, we asked the fan base, you know, when Phil passed away, you know, what does everybody want us to do? You know, I mean, we knew we had an obligation and a duty and a responsibility to our fan base. And we love the music. We've loved the music for decades, way back when. And this has been our life. It's been our lifelong. Well, myself, 33 years out of the 40 years, has been my 33-year-long, life. And everybody wanted us to continue. You know, they wanted us to move ahead. And I think with a massive amount of resilience, I was able to pull things together pretty quickly and get back out there and, you know, finish the summer tour that we had, and we're getting ready to start the Battleground tour now on Friday in Berlin. So we're going to start over there, and then we're back a couple days before Christmas, and we're going to hit all points in between. So, thank you very much for the compliment.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, there's no question, because I think as you listen to the music and that stuff, I mean, I know it's live, and I think that it's going to be even better when you're able to see it live.
Yeah, you know, and that's the good thing about Hatchet, you know. We've always been able to deliver on stage, and it's been just a tradition and a spirit of the band to deliver on stage. You know, it doesn't matter if there's 500 people or, you know, 5,000 or more out there. You know, we still play the same. It's the same intensity. It's the same enthusiasm. And it means the same to us as musicians, you know, playing the songs.
Now, one of the things I'm interested in is because, I mean, of course, every front man has a different personality. So what is it that that Jimmy brings to the band from a personality perspective that is different, and not only just from a recording perspective, but also from a live perspective?
Well, you know, Jimmy, being a Florida boy, you know, southern born, southern bred down here, he's got what I like to call the Southern Rock gene. He's got it in his DNA, man. You know, I mean, he's all about Southern Rock. He was in a band called Bounty Hunter, of all things, and so there was a common unity, you know, with him that we picked up on, you know, right away. And you know, doing the shows with Jimmy, we've had a great time. You know, he's getting the feel of everything. You know, I mean, he. Let's face it, he's got some pretty big shoes to fill, you know, with Danny Joe Brown and Phil McCormack, and then you know, Jimmy Elkins coming in. So he's got a pretty hefty shoe to fill there, but I think he's doing a great job, and we're all supporting him, you know, as he learns the ropes, so to speak.
Yeah. Now, also, how important is it to kind of keep the Southern Rock flag flying? I mean, I look at, you know, I just went to see Lynyrd Skynyrd on their, you know, final tour, and I know that they're kind of winding down, but like, how important is it to keep that kind of music alive, and especially in the classic sense?
Well, again, it's back to the fans, you know. If it's important to the fans for us to be out there, we will be out there. If they care about the music like they have through the four decades, the generations, then yeah, we're going to be out there. It means everything to us. So, you know, whether we're, you know, trying to keep it going, or where we're doing it, you know, for our fan base or ourselves, we're going to keep this thing out there as long as the fans are supportive and behind us.
Now, you talk about generations and stuff like that. So what's it been like? I mean, especially with you being in the band for 33 years, and I know you've been in Southern Rock for the whole time, but like, what's it like to see the generations cycle through, and to see the younger people in the crowd, and being able to go with their parents and just kind of get that, you know, get that new audience?
You know, Danny and I started out together in 1975, before Molly Hatchet was out there recording, you know, albums in 78. Danny Joe Brown, I handed him the first microphone. A lot of people don't know that, but I did. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was rehearsing, and he came up, and I was looking for a singer at the time. I didn't know where to look, but I was looking for a singer. That was 1975. I had just turned, I think I was 17, getting ready to turn 18. Anyway, it was a long time ago. And Danny was at rehearsal. He came with the keyboard player, Mel Powell. And he was a friend of his. And Danny came up and said, "Man, I really want to audition for the group. You know, I know how to sing." And I said, "Well, I'm looking for a singer." I said, "Well, do you know how to be a front man?" And he says, "What's that?" And I'm not kidding you. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And he's turned out to be, if not the best, but one of the top five Southern Rock frontmen that has ever been. And so back to your question, way back when, you know, we have seen the different generations, you know, even just the Jacksonville, Florida generations of Southern Rock, you know, and the very first that I saw, you know, with Danny and I was coming up. And then more so with the Danny Joe Brown band in 80, with the different generations and how everybody grew up together, right? You grow up together.
Mm-hmm.
You grow together. You grow older, wiser together. You know, I guess your interests change, and your responsibilities change. You know, you have family and kids and job, and we have seen, you know, our fan base mature and grow up. And I guess in some ways we have too. You know, we've gotten older, wiser, and smarter about things as the years have gone by. And we've all just taken this journey together. You know, we've all taken the journey. And they're bringing their children to the shows. And it's amazing, and it's so humbling to me to have a father come through the line and say, you know, with his arm around his son, and say, this is my son's first concert. And Bobby, this was my first concert, you know, way back when. You know, I mean, to me, that's gold, man. Yeah, that, you can't replace that. It's just amazing. It was an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
And in some cases, Brett, we see grandchildren, and they're babies, you know, coming up, you know, kids, and that's their first concert. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty awesome thing to see the generations and how the generations have changed. I guess it's on different levels, you know, of maturity and different levels of responsibility.
Yeah, wow. So now does that, you say how the generations have changed. Does that make you want to change? And I guess to that point, how has Molly Hatchet changed over the years and adapted with new technology and the new way of the music industry?
Hold on. Okay. Well, as far as your first question, yes, you know, we've adapted, you know, to a lot of things, and yes, we've changed as people. The foundational roots of Molly Hatchet is the same. It's the same spirit, the same tradition, the same legacy that we continue from the very beginning, and we keep that going. That's not changed. That's not, as long as I'm here, that's not going to change. We write about truth, honesty, and friendship. We write about our military. We write about God and Jesus. We're religious. That doesn't change. What does change is what I just explained to you about maturity levels and responsibility and obligations that have come our way through the years as you grow up, just like the fan base, you know. And with technology, for your second question, we have seen a lot of technology come and be superseded and circumvented with a lot of different technology and sporadic movements here or there and another. With cassettes, let's go back. LPs, which, by the way, the Battleground LP is a triple LP that's out in Europe now, and it's coming out here December 20th, the triple LP.
And it looks awesome.
Okay, so we're seeing that technology develop, and now circle back around. Okay, moving forward, we've seen the cassettes, right? Oh, sorry, LP, we've seen the 8-tracks. Then we've seen the cassettes, and then we've seen the digital movement, you know, with all the computers and the MP3s and MP4s and MP5s and 6s, whatever's out there with all of that. Yeah, we've seen a lot of change with that because that develops too, you know, as you go along in years. We've adjusted to it, I guess. I still like to record on analog, and then for editing purposes, I do bump it to Pro Tools occasionally. But, you know, that you have the best of both worlds as far as the technology and the recording of albums. So, yeah, I guess it's an adaptation of a lot of things, but the music and the foundational roots stay the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the really important thing to everything. I mean, the rest of it can change. And as you say, it always does change. So, you know, the important thing for the music is for the foundation to stay the same. And now I guess that leads me to ask you, how difficult is it to keep all that stuff the same and to keep it forefront, especially as you do have to replace band members and stuff like that, because it's not easy to keep a band together for 40 years, 33 years kind of thing. So, you know, maybe speak to that just a little bit for me.
Well, your first question is, how do we keep that? It's like what I was talking about with the foundational roots, you know, keeping that going. With the different band members that come in, you know, it changes a little bit, but the foundational roots are the same. And I keep going back to that because we don't change that. The band members may change. Molly Hatchet's Molly Hatchet. You know, we stay true to ourselves as people. We don't change. You know, if we do, it's by natural occurrences or fate or rewards in our life that has changed as individuals, or, you know, the different ways that we look at things as we grow older, to answer your question.
Yeah. Well, and that's it, right? Because we all do grow older, fortunately / unfortunately. And it's always interesting to see. And I guess even, you know, the fans' perspective changes as well. But
I have a question for you, Brett. If, you know, how would it change for you guys as the media? And this is a good thing that really needs to be recognized with everybody listening out there. The media is a big deal. The radio, the internet, the magazines, print, literature, everything that you see, read, and hear that comes from the media, that's like Molly Hatchet. That's Molly Hatchet's conduit to the listener out there. If we're not on stage delivering it live, or it's not in the CD, it's the media. And you guys, I got to tell you, you deserve a big thumbs up and a triple high five, man, because you guys have been behind Molly Hatchet for 40-something years, 40-plus years, and you're still out there doing it just like we're doing this today, so that you know, our listeners will get an idea of where we're at now in the generation and the legacy of Molly Hatchet. And I thank you. Personally and collectively as a group, thank you very much for the job that you're doing.
Well, thank you. And I think, you know, like, here's the thing, like in my concept,
so I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about the changes in technology? And how do you feel about the changes in yourself as an interviewer that have come up and developed through the years?
Well, I think when it comes to technology, and certainly like the internet plays such a huge role in that, is because the access to someone like you is so much different and easier now in some degree. And I think that you know, I'll speak as a fan as well, is that I'm able, like, knowing that I can talk to you is amazing. Like, it's wonderful because I have been a fan of yours for a long time. And so I think that being able to do that, being able to talk to people like this, is incredible. And I think that fans have more access now than they've ever had. And as you are, especially bands like that, show that you're willing to accept the access, then and to be there and present for your fans in more ways than just being at the concert, I think that that's really how it's changed, and that's how it's become even so much more important.
I agree with you. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues, you know, that was when it first started. I mean, avenues of media and outlets and, you know, ways to get information, you know, because of the internet, honestly, because of that.
And yeah.
It's global acceptance. Yeah, it brings everybody closer, you know, and we are definitely wanting to do that with our fan base. At the end of every night, we get out, we sign autographs, we take pictures, we sign whatever, and say hi to the guys and the ladies and gentlemen that came to see us. And that's what we want to do. You know, we want to meet them. So I understand about the closeness and how that relates to our business, yours and mine.
And I also think that that it's great because media has changed so much. Because it used to be that it was like you're on TV or you're in the newspaper or you know, perhaps it's an article in a music magazine, and that is how you're able to get yourself out there. But again, now that you've got digital, like, older ways are still there, but there's so many new ways. And quite honestly, I mean, something as simple as a podcast in this case, it can be a better way of getting your message out there than a lot of the older ways that we had before. And so, you know, as we adapt to that, and I think that's been something for me, is adapting how I would ask a question and the kind of information that I'm looking for. You know, as a podcaster versus as, say, a journalist in a newspaper.
And you're right. You know, there's different ways that the delivery of an interview is, that's for sure. You know, it's different radio. The content is the same, but the delivery is different. Like radio or magazine, you know, or live or TV. So I think it's up to the artist to get engaged and to talk to their audience and their fan base and to get out there and tell them what you're doing and tell them what how you're feeling about things. Like the Battleground album, right?
Yeah. And I mean, and that's why you're here, and that's you know, and it's absolutely the most important thing to talk about, and to talk about the fact that it is just out, and we want everybody to listen to it. But you know, at the same time, it's great to kind of dig in and to really understand you, understand Molly Hatchett, and really understand, you know, how Battleground came to be and what makes it special.
Yeah, there's a lot of elements, you know, and you know, it's hard to just put my finger on just one element. It's the 40 years. It's the 33 that I've involved with. It's the 40 years of the legacy of it. It's Danny and I way before Hatchett. What we started with before Danny Joe Brownman, before Hatchett, it was in Rum Creek. John Galvin is the keyboard player of the group and always has, and as far as I'm concerned, always will be. And we've known each other and been playing with each other for 40 years now. John Galvin, amazing keyboardist and a great friend. Tim Lindsay, who was in Skynyrd for a little while on the Skynyrd tribute tour on bass. He's a Jacksonville native, born and bred here, still lives here. And the best bass player that I've ever played with. And I'm going to just say that because it is. It's the truth and it's my opinion. Fantastic person and he's in the group. And Sean Beamer on the drums, down in the Orlando area, Daytona, that whole, everybody knows him down there. And just a powerhouse. He's meter solid, you know, and he's a great guy. And I've been laughing for the last 20 years at the jokes that he comes up with. Like, okay, it is pretty amazing, man. I don't know where he gets some of this stuff, but it's... I should write a book about him. I mean, it's an amazing thing. So the band and its different personalities, you know, now in this generation of it, makes Molly Hatchett what it is today.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just so important, you know. It's so important to get the right people together, and for that magic to happen.
It's true. You can't just. It's not contrived. You just can't throw it together. You know, there has to be a magic, and there's got to be an electricity with the music, you know. And that's what we have, and we're all thankful to God for that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Bobby, I'm so happy that you've been on the show. I just want to let you have the opportunity to tell fans where they can get Battleground. And also about the fact that you're on tour, going to be in Germany.
Absolutely, Brett. Thank you for having me on the air. I appreciate everybody taking the time to listen to the podcast. They can go to mollyhatchett.com. It's on the front page. Just scroll down a little bit. You're going to see everything, all the contents about Battleground. Just start clicking. And, you know, you can get it at Amazon. You can get it pretty much all over. But you want to get the official one, that's for sure. And I want to say with that, that Paul Raymond Gregory, and you can't miss it. Paul Raymond Gregory is just a fantastic artist. He's been our artist since Devil's Canyon forward. He's from London, England, and he's done a lot of groups. He's done Ronnie James Dio, and he's done Saxon and Motorhead, Hatchet, and we're still together now since the mid-90s. And he actually paints those album covers for us. They're not painted beforehand, as it was in the early days with the first two or three of them.
But yeah, right.
Those are painted before the album was recorded or even knowing that. But with Paul, it's different. Paul Ray McGregory, you can go there, you can check out the media section on our website, and you can see the guitars that were built. It's pretty amazing. He paints this when we make a phone call, and I'll tell him what the concept of the record is. I'll tell him my feeling, you know, of the album and what it means to me. And he takes all that, and I won't hear from him. Then he'll send me the finished product, and it is truly amazing. The relationship that we have and the artistic ability that he has, and that we're still together after all these years, and it's a wonderful thing, and we're really happy to have him aboard. Paul Ray McGregory, check him out, and check out the Battleground record. It's a double CD, triple LP. You can't miss it. You'll see the Battleground guy and the axe guitar and the whole thing. And pick it up, turn it up to 10, turn it up to 20, and have a great time with it.
Well, there's no question, because it's a rocking album. It's all the best stuff. I love listening to it. I think I'm going to listen to it again. But yeah, I mean, the cover is killer, and your website is killer too. I love it. I love when bands have great websites that make it easy to find them.
And the website developer is from Canada.
Oh, awesome. Well, there you go.
Yeah, Peter with Adrenaline Communications up there. He put another site together, maybe 10 years ago, that you can see the original site of his work up there. He's up there in Canada. I just spoke with him this morning, by the way. But, I want to invite everybody to pick up the album, listen to it, and have a great time. And hey, they make great Christmas presents. What can I say?
Yeah, of course they do. Well, Bobby Engram, it's been a treat talking to you, and I wish you all the best with the tour, all the best with the album, and I sure look forward to hearing some new Molly Hatchet music coming out in the future, and I look forward to having you back on the show.
And I'd love to be. Thank you so much, Brett. Take care. Have happy holidays.
Bye. All right. Soon. Same to you. Have a good day. Yeah!